Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, this is Pro Wrestling Interviews, and we're excited tonight. We've got a couple of great superstars to talk with us. First of all, from North Carolina, the one and only Papa Stro Maestro. How are you doing tonight?
Wonderful. I'm traveling home now in the pouring rain, but great to be here with you guys.
Well, we're glad to have you here. And from Richmond, Virginia, Steve Logan, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Just go ahead and catch up with Stro.
That's great. Well, I tell you what, we're going to be doing some catching up tonight. So, Papa Stro, what have you been doing? You said you were on set for a couple of movies. So what's going on?
Oh, gosh. The last couple of weeks have been crazy. Well, last week, I did a commentary. Well, a couple weeks ago, I did commentary for Shockwave Wrestling Entertainment. And then I was on set last week for a upcoming horror sci-fi miniseries that'll be coming out soon. I'll put you guys on really soon about. And then I made my return to XWW Extreme World Wrestling last Sunday night for the Wrestle Revolution pay-per-view event on Fight TV. And in fact, Hernandez, former Impact star, he won the heavyweight championship that night for XWW. So it was really cool to make a return and have a new champ at the same time. So, you know, good to see Hernandez again. And then this weekend, I've been on set for like two different films. One's kind of like a horror drama film, and another one is a continuation of the upcoming hybrid film movie that I'm going to be a part of. So, yeah, it's been crazy, but really blessed to get out there and doing things.
Absolutely. Well, we're glad you are, because you're one superb talent. And the more that people have you in their films and stuff, the better off they are. Now, I'll tell you that. That's what I think. So we're glad you're out there doing stuff and all that. So, Steve, what have you got to talk about tonight?
Well, Cheryl and I were talking about the recent NXT releases. Some of them are baffling to me. But the more I looked into it from other people reporting on it, it seemed like some of them may have rejected the contract renewals. I think Parker Bordeaux is what I heard. He rejected a contract re-signing. Dakota Kai might have, because there was no plan for her in the main roster, and I'm definitely surprised that they put LA Knight, who's a wrestler, in a manager role, and then released Malcolm Bivens, who's a manager on NXT. You would think you would plug in Malcolm Bivens with the former Mace on TV. But, and there's others that were released, like Persia Parada, but I have not been watching NXT 2.0 lately, so it's... I'm not, this is exactly why I don't watch, because they'll cut people during the storylines, like Dexter Lumis. I really liked him, and apparently he was still involved in the show. Parker Bordeaux was taken off from Joe Gacy a couple weeks ago, is what I heard, but Dexter, Malcolm, and others were still involved in the storylines, and they released them mid-storyline. So some of them are surprising to others, some of these releases.
Wow, that's amazing, because I'll tell you what, Jim Crockett would never have done, Stro, I think you'll agree with me, Jim Crockett would never have done that. He would never have stopped somebody in the middle of a storyline, would he?
No, because I'd be taking money away from his pocket. I mean, you know, that was the whole point of you know, get the talent out there to help make money for the whole, you know, everyone in the promotion. So, yeah, if you did it back in the day, that would shoot yourself in the foot.
And by the way, we are joined by none other than Sinister from Northeast Georgia. How are you doing, Sinister?
I'm doing all right. How's everybody?
We are glad to have you here. We got Papa Stro and we've got Steve, and we were doing a little complaining about taking talent out of the mix when they're in the middle of a storyline. And, you know, I tell you what, Jim Crockett wouldn't do that.
No, he sure wouldn't. But
no, he wouldn't.
Hey, Papa Stro can't rain all the time.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, but you know what? There's actually been people I know that have went to NXT and worked for them. And, you know, I've told people before, you know, don't get too cute, because if you get cute and think you're a star and you get the big head, they can't cut you, you know, without cause. And, you know, it's a prime example of what just happened, and people still don't believe it. And, you know, you got to have a backup plan. That's just how WWE works. You know? Unless you establish like a Cena, a Rock, a Austin, or somebody like that. But if you're not established like that, you know, is like playing Monopoly.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I thought even the main roster cuts last year were baffling to me with Bray Wyatt, Aleister Black, and Karrion Kross. It was just, that's why I don't watch, that's why I don't feel like I need to watch the TV, because why get invested in one character and they're just going to get released right when they come back from a long absence? It's just infuriating.
That is exactly right. So I don't know what you do. You got your favorites. You got the people that you like to follow. And all of a sudden they're cut. It's like, what is going on here?
Yeah, you wouldn't have seen Phil Watts get rid of Junkyard Dog back in the heyday when Junkyard Dog was his biggest draw ever. You know, that would never happen back then.
No. Well, I mean, what's the backstory? Are they doing budget cuts or just trying to save money? Or, I mean,
I haven't heard budget cuts yet. But it wouldn't surprise me if some of them just didn't want to re-sign. Like, I heard Parker Bordeaux turned down a new contract. Dakota Kai might have, because if she wasn't going to the main roster, then what's the point of staying in NXT? And I heard she wasn't getting called up to the main roster. I don't understand it, because they called up Raquel, and they need women's tag teams. They could have put Dakota and Raquel as another tag team in the mix. Because they always, like, just are never having any women's tag team to that division. And then Malcolm Bivens might have not re-signed, like, as his choice, but I'm not sure these are confirmed, but that's what I've heard, like, from other reporters. Some of them might have just not wanted to re-sign. Maybe they had other plans, like maybe Parker Bordeaux. Because, like, Brock Lesnar, he got that mega push in 2002, 2004, and he chose to leave. But sometimes, like, sometimes they do have other plans, I guess.
Well, sometimes it could be, like, people that's on the main roster. Like, for example, say you got Sasha Banks, you got Becky Lynch, Ronda Rousey, and all them. If some star, female star, from NXT and join the main roster, usually, you know, with backstage talent, everything turns cutthroat because everybody wants to be in that number one spot. And I guess to keep everybody happy and to keep talent like Ronda Rousey or Becky Lynch or Roman Reigns, you know, I guess like the main roster, they have the, you know, the first say-so and all. And, you know, that could be the issue itself because, like you said, a lot of this just don't make sense. I mean, it really don't. And this is the top company in the world. They are WWE, but still, you know, that just don't make any sense.
How the going to like new stars when they don't give them time to develop and grow? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're always complaining about people stepping up and all that, but they don't give them that. They don't give these guys and gals half a chance.
Nope. It
takes time, you know.
Yeah, it does.
I think the top prospect for them now is Gable Stevenson, and he got signed to Raw right away. So we'll see if he can catch up, because it seems like you need a couple of years to get really ready, and Gable's already, like, drafted to Raw. We'll see how he does. But, like, anybody else in NXT, I'm not sure how they'll shake out now, because they'll release someone like Parker Bordeaux, who I thought could have, a lot of people thought he could have been the next Brock Lesnar, but they turned him into, like, a Baron Corbin nails type looking wrestler, but that's if it wasn't for, like, him asking for his, you know, not signing another contract, it's baffling.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to mention something, because I know that now this is way back in the day, and this shows my age, but, you know, I used to follow Paul Jones and Milton Royal. They were the hottest tag team in the world in Mid-Atlantic, and then Milton Royal retired. And then what they did is Paul Jones had no success at all. Then all of a sudden, he became a heel, number one Paul Jones, and he started tearing it up. He was a great heel. That was a great heel turn. And, that made his career. That remade his career. That's it. And you know, it's a matter of time. It's a matter of letting someone season and go ahead and do what they need to do. Because, I mean, that was one of the greatest things that probably had ever happened in Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling a long, long time ago. And, Stro, you knew Paul Jones, I'm sure, right?
Oh, yeah, very much so. And, you know, and the situation with Nelson Royal and Paul Jones, you know, they were, you know, it took them a bit to get established. And when they got established as single competitors and they finally tagged together to become a tag team, you know, I mean, it clicked because, you know, there were two established guys that had a following. And when they came together, man, it was the chemistry was just there. The time was just right. So, and I mean, that's the same thing with, Robert Gibson. You know, they were pretty much established singles wrestlers, and when they came together, became the Rock and Roll Express, it clicked. It just took off like a rocket ship.
Now those boys took off like a rocket ship. That was perhaps one of the greatest tag team partnerships in history. And
as a matter of fact, before Dusty Rhodes came to the Mid-Atlantic area, the most popular tag team of the Mid-Atlantic area was Pistol Pat Watley and Jimmy Boogie Woogie Man Valiant.
Oh,
those guys were just insanely popular, and And, and then, again, you had two established baby faces with Pistol Pez and Jimmy Valiant there coming together as a tag team. And, you know, it, as another tag team that just clicked at the time. So.
And that was before Boogie Woogie got over to Memphis and hung out over there and tore it up with
Jerry Lawler, guy. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Right.
Well, that was great. I mean, that's a good one. So yeah. So Steve got us started on this. So Steve, what have you got to? What's the next question? We're gonna let the professor of wrestling give us another question to talk about because we got two great seasoned wrestlers here. We got Sinister and the one and only Papa Clay. So Steve, give us another topic.
I sent that clip in the group chat. Stro, did you work Smoky Mountain when Jake Roberts was there?
Yeah. He wasn't there for very long, but yeah, I was there when he came through.
Yeah, I still haven't listened to his interview with Chris Jericho, but I hadn't seen that clip before where he shaved his head, but that was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Well, Papa Stro, you've got a great story about.
You've
got
to get. But like, you wanted to get Flair, but you know, he was too expensive at the time.
Oh yeah.
Oh, go. Sorry about that. Go ahead.
Well, Stro, you've got a great story about you and Jake Roberts on an airplane, right?
Oh yeah, quite a few. Yeah, story, Jake.
Yeah,
never
why don't you tell us that great story about you and you know that story, right?
If it's the one I think you're referring to, okay, I think it's what you're talking about. Well, you know, we would take like a plane ride, you know, touring like AAA, Mexico, and all that. And, we're on the way back from an event, Mexico City, right? And mm-hmm. We used to, like, raid the airports with, like, the vending machines with sandwiches and all that sort of thing. And so we're getting ready to board, right? We're boarding on the plane and, get settled in, right? And all of a sudden, I couldn't move my neck. You know, what's going on with the seat, right? It turns out that Jake had tied a knot with my hair in the back of the airplane seat where I couldn't move my head. So I almost had to get a knife to, like, cut the knot off my head. He tied it in the back. And I looked over across the aisle from him. He was, like, sitting there laughing, right? He had the Snickers bar and the briefcase, this fold-out tray in front of him. And, you know, I was, you know, acknowledging, laughing back, you know, but I'm thinking to myself, okay, all right, your sick time's coming, right? So we take off, and when we landed, he had fallen asleep, this fold-out tray in front of him. Put it straight on the tray, and then they had the Snickers bar next to him, right? So I walk over to the side of the aisle, and I grabbed his Snickers bar and said, "Wake up, Jake, we landed!" I yelled it real loud, and he got startled, right? Spilled his drink all over him, and he looked at me, and I took a bite of his Snickers bar, and I took off down the aisle, flying, right? So he chases after me, right? And keep in mind, he's like 6'6". And You know those movie projectors you watch on the planes? They used to fold down. You'd watch movies, right? Well, evidently, it was still down. You know, from if the passengers watching the movies, right? So when he went to chase me, right, his head hit the monitor, the movie projector. And he saw his thick skin boots flying upside down. It hit the floor, right? He took a bump on the aisle, right? And I'm like laughing so hard, I tears my eyes. He gets to hold his head laughing at me. "Okay, man, you got me." Always a good time with Jake. We do have so much fun.
Yeah, because you were his tag team partner for quite a while. weren't you?
Yeah, yeah. We were the main, like, we know you got the Rudos, the Technicos, baby faces and heels in Spanish, right? And we were, like, the top Rudo team at that one time, right before Triple Mania there, and, which is their equivalent of WrestleMania, right? So it was cool, right? We would have such great times. We used to play with the micro wrestlers on the plane and stuff. You know, he had like Mini Mankind, Mini Goldust, Mini Vader, and all that. it was a good time.
I'm sure it was. I mean, that was. I know those were great days. And so how's he doing now? Because the last time that I heard, he was out doing comedy. He was doing comedy.
Yeah,
he's still doing that. Stroke.
He's working on TV.
Yeah, yeah. He's playing the Lance Archer out there in AEW still. And yeah, he's doing good. He still gives a mean promo.
Yeah, I saw one of his recent promos. I think MJF was hiring Lance Archer to take out Wardlow. I think Lance Archer needs to get some big wins at some point, but I really dig him and Jake Roberts together still, and Jake Roberts cutting those promos backstage.
Yeah, they need to give Lance Archer more love out that way, honestly. I mean, Jake is a heck of a combination.
Yeah, and Lance, I'm just glad that he's still healthy after that bad moonsault, but I'm surprised he's still doing the moonsaults off the rope walk, the spoiler walk. He's still doing those moonsaults.
He's wide open.
He reminds me of Undertaker, because he's a big Texan, tattooed, walks the ropes. So it's kind of cool him and Jake together, these big Texans.
Yeah, man. I never promotion to give a brother a chance, man. That dude can make some money, man, if they'll give him the opportunity.
Yeah, he really won me over in New Japan, and so I was glad to see him in AEW. But he's still friends with Suzuki, and I remember his match with Ospreay, where he kind of won with the claw, like the Von Erich claw and EBD claw, and that was one of my favorite Lance Archer moments. But
you know, that's a lot of times why Brody and Hanson liked it so good in Japan, because, you know, I mean, they would get occasional pretty decent gigs in the States and all, but I mean, Japan gave them a lot of love. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. I wonder what Davey Boy Smith is going to be doing, because he got released from WWE, and he never even made TV. He just only did dark matches. I'm surprised Davey Boy didn't stay longer in WWE. I'm surprised he's not on TV yet.
Yeah, me neither. I see where AEW is trying to do the whole relationship with New Japan and all. They got a show coming up later on this year. They're doing a joint deal. You know, I just wish they would kind of follow their example and, you know, give some love to the monsters of the business, you know, like Japan does. Because, man, they got some great big guys up there they can do a lot with, but for some reason they just, you know what I mean, they haven't hit the go button yet.
I think their focus is that Satnam Singh guy, and I hope it's, I don't know, I don't think he's going to beat Joe right away, but it seems like that's their monster right now, that Satnam Singh guy.
You got Joe, you got Keith Lee, you got a whole, you got Lance Archer. I mean, they got so many great big guys they can do a lot with. And they're just now doing something with Wardlow.
Yeah.
Hey, where's Brian Cage? Anybody know?
Yeah, that's another guy. I'm surprised they re-signed him because I think his contract was wrapping up, and then Tony Khan rolled it over. And Brian Cage is another guy I thought they would have done a lot more with, and he just hasn't been on TV lately, I think.
Wow.
And look at Powerhouse Hobbs. There's another big
yeah.
guy that, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Sure, what did you think about, did you see Rampage? I think Hook and Danhausen had, like, a segment, or I thought they were going to have a match, but then it led to, like, a Rock and Sock tag team tease, an Odd Couple tease.
He's one of the most over guys there, and he hasn't even had an official match yet. It's pretty crazy. Danhausen.
Yeah. Yeah, I told, I was telling my friend about him, because my friend who doesn't watch a lot, and he's a casual, I told him, like, you're gonna like Danhausen, and I sent him the clip of him and Regal, the post-show segment where Danhausen curses Regal. He was like, that's hilarious. I'm like, yeah, I knew you were gonna like Danhausen.
Can you imagine him doing stuff with the House of Black? That'd be hilarious.
Yeah, I'm surprised he's not doing. Yeah, I'm surprised he's not doing stuff with Dark Order. Because
yeah.
Dark Order is kind of comical.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
But yeah,
I mean,
I think
you know,
yeah.
you got to have guys like that in the industry, Derry.
Yeah, I think even Cornette likes Danhausen. He's very jaded, and he even likes Danhausen.
Absolutely.
Sorry, did we lose you? Okay.
Stro should be back. We lost him for
yeah,
like 5 seconds, but he's right back.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Perfectly.
Oh. Okay, cool. I tell you, though, that hook kid, man, he's going to be something.
Oh, yeah. I like his fighter look. We'll see if he ever cuts the hair, but I think it works for him for now. But
yeah, I don't think he should. Just keep him as is, man. He's over already.
Yeah, he's. I heard Alvarez compare him to Naito, and I thought that was very fitting. I hope Hook is on that Forbidden Door show. That New Japan AEW crossover show, because I'd like to see him in there with a New Japan guy.
You know, Japan would be good, so good for Hook. He would do great, I think. He would really excel.
And they let their AEW guys work elsewhere. I wonder if New Japan USA, if they ever would let them work a match there, because that way... Yeah, if he can't get into the country, at least he can work with the New Japan brand in California.
Oh, that'd be great. I hope so.
I'd like to see him in there with Tom Lawler, because Tom Lawler has been a big deal on that New Japan USA show.
Right. And the thing is, the more stars that Hook could work with in the ring. I mean, he can only get better. You know what I mean? So it's,
oh, yeah.
It's a win-win.
What do you think about the Eddie Kingston, Chris Jericho storyline? I really like that Jericho lit the fireball. Like, you pulled the Jerry Lawler, the Sheik fireball out in the parking lot.
Right.
And then, on commentary on Rampage, he was like, I'm a wizard! And that popped me.
Well, I wish, I know they have, you know, they got two clicks going right, going at it, but I wish it was more of they focused more of the singles Kingston Jericho deal, you know, by themselves, because, I mean, that's where the real heat is with those two. So, I mean, but that's just me. But, I mean, you know, because – but those two should be the – you know, I mean, the focal point, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Because you don't want to saturate it with too many guys. Because that's never good. It just takes the focus off them, and you don't want that because, you know, Jericho and Kingston's where the real heat's at.
Yeah. I thought it was funny that CM Punk, when he was cutting that ringside promo, he was putting other people over, and he, like, didn't put Eddie Kingston over in his promo. Like, he, like, specifically singled him out. It's like somebody... but he wasn't high on. That's funny.
That seems to be a constant these days. I mean, look at Undertaker. All those names he mentioned, he left out Mick Foley. That was his most memorable match of the Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, Vince mentioned them, but Undertaker didn't, and that was weird. But,
right.
I haven't even watched all the Hall of Fame ceremony. I saw the Undertaker speech and others, but Sinister, did you have any thoughts on the recent AEW Dynamite or Rampage?
Yeah. You know, the thing with Chris Jericho. And, you know, that the new guys that he got now, I mean, I like the whole idea. I also, you know, I also agree with Stroh that it should be singles with, you know, Chris Jericho versus Eddie Kingston. And then the other guys, you know, they just face off something different, like in the tag team division. And in the end, they all just come back together and just have a full-out battle just to see who's, you know, which side is going to win. But, you know, me, Chris Jericho, he's like the Roy Jones Jr. of professional wrestling because you just never know what kind of you just never know what kind of storyline you're going to get out of him, and that's what makes him so good. You know, that's why he's been around so long. And I think a lot of guys, like, follow his lead. You know, I do believe they can get over a whole lot more because – one thing I give Chris Jericho credit for, he has, you know, been involved and had good material for storyline wise. You know, he's just different. So the thing about Hook, I like Hook, but it's like something's missing. Like he might just it's something. I don't know if it's just his character or whatever, but I like him. But it's it's like, I think it's something missing that can make him even better than what he is. But besides that, I think it's impressive.
Right.
Yeah. But one question I want to ask everybody. Far as the women's division, I'm trying to look at it from a good angle. What is everybody's thoughts on Jade Cargill?
I think she's still green, but she has potential.
Exactly.
I was listening to Alvarez's thoughts on the Shafir Cargill match, and match seemed to be better than what people, the reporters, thought, but there's some small details that need to be worked on, like selling the leg and whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, though, they have positioned her to be the most over lady on the roster, and honestly, she talks like a champ. She looks like $1 million. And she carries herself very, very well. Very, very well. And to the point where she even outshines the women's champion, you know, as far as that goes. And even Thunder Rosa just getting started being champion. I mean, you know, I mean, it's like she has really taken that TBS championship to new heights. That's far.
And I think a women's faction, I know we have a lot of factions in AEW, but I think that's going to help out Red Velvet and Kira Hogan having a baddies faction.
And taking nothing away from Thunder Rosa, and she's pretty solid. But, you know, I mean, even though Jade Cargill was pretty much new to the business, you know, she has the look, she has the gab, and, you know, she carries herself really well. So I'll give her that.
Yeah. I think Serena Deeb, Hikaru Shida, has still been good, but let's see them challenge for a title. I'd like to see Shida or Serena Deeb challenge for the main women's title or the TBS.
Yeah.
Serena Deeb and Thunder Rosa would have some great matches for the women's championship.
You know, to be honest, something that would make a great addition to AEW women's division, even for Jade Cargill or the champion, and she may not even be interested, may not even want to come over, but if I was Tony Khan, I would be doing my best to try to get Nia Jax to come to AEW.
Oh.
You know, just to spice it up, because they need a monster in the women's division. Just like the men always got monsters, but the women need a monster in the women's division.
She could be, but I think they already have one with Nyla Rose.
Nyla Rose, she's good. Oh, well, good, but, I'm just one of those people that, you know, you just gotta have that little extra, you know, to go to your show.
Yeah.
But, man, that would just make it, you know, just bringing her over, that would just get, you know, to make everything just a little bit more tight. Just for her just to even be in the crowd and sitting in the front row would just, you know, expand everybody's curiosity, trying to figure out, is she coming, is she going to sign, or is she got an eye on somebody, or what's going on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's just a great talent that's just out there that nobody's using.
The one that I'm wondering if they're looking at is Dakota Kai, because I know they have plenty of women right now, but Dakota Kai is fresh off TV or NXT, and I'm just wondering if she has she might have a 30-day clause, so we'll see in a month if they pick her up, because I think Dakota Kai was definitely a missed opportunity by WWE, and I think Dakota Kai versus Bayley, that would have been a money feud. Because when Dakota Kai came into WWE, she was kind of like that smiley baby face that Bayley was. And then she would turn in NXT, but I thought Bayley Dakota Kai would have been money, but they missed out on that.
Yeah,
I miss Nia Jax, man. I hope she comes back soon.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Sure. Did you hear about the Iconics Inspiration splitting up, or not splitting up, but just leaving wrestling temporarily?
Who was that again? Leaving wrestling temporarily? I'm sorry.
The Iconics. Peyton Royce.
The Iconics. Yeah. I read up about that.
Inspiration. Yeah. I heard that Cassidy or Peyton Royce is doing acting now. like rom com or something like that.
Wow. Well, I guess for them. I mean, I hope it works out. But you know, this business always brings you back somehow, though. So I wouldn't be surprised if you hear a big return down the road for those
mm-hmm.
ladies.
CM Punk is facing Adam Hangman Page. I don't think Punk's going to beat Page, but we'll see. I think if anybody could beat Page, it probably would be CM Punk, but we'll see.
Right. Should be a pretty good match.
I'm just waiting for New Japan's Dominion, because then we'll probably get a better idea of who's going to be champion on that Forbidden Door show. And then, I'd like to see CM Punk in there with Okada, or Bryan Danielson in there with Okada, because it seemed like Okada, he was saying publicly that he wanted to face either Punk or Bryan. So I'm hoping that Forbidden Door show leads to a Punk Okada match.
Yeah.
And, I think CM Punk is a champion for him. You know, I mean, give him the opportunity.
The Double or Nothing show is on the 29th, and the only official match right now is Punk and Page. So definitely look forward to that, and then. They got the Owen Hart Cup tournament finals for the men's and women's on those on that event. I could see Toni Storm in the finals of the women's one. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I really enjoyed the CM Punk Dustin Rhodes match recently.
Yeah.
That was fun. Yeah, I enjoyed that. Sure, I gotta get your thoughts. What did you think about that Cash Wheeler, Dax Harwood, FTR singles match for that qualifier for the Owen Hart tournament?
Oh yeah, that was really good, and it's you know it's something rare too. It's almost like seeing Bobby Eaton and Sweet Stan go at it in a tournament, or a Rover Hawk versus Rover Animal, or something like that. Something you would rarely see happen.
Right.
Through the years. It was really cool to witness.
Yeah, like the pile driver and the finish was interesting because Cash almost got put into a sharpshooter, but Dax was reluctant to do it to further injure him, and then it led to that roll-up. It's an interesting story there.
Yeah. And I think it's cool that they're having, like, both men and women's division, the whole Owen Hart thing. That's really cool. I wish it was Vince the one doing it, but you know, more power to AEW, you know, make it happen.
Right. Oh, I haven't been catching up on New Japan lately, but I saw a big turn, a faction member joining recently. I don't know how I feel about it, but Juice Robinson joined the Bullet Club probably this morning. And I'm wondering if they're getting too bloated, too NWO, where they have too many guys.
Yeah, it is. I agree with that.
Yeah.
And nothing against Juice. I just didn't see him as a villain.
Well, I mean, when you think about it, like NWO, when you had Hogan, Nash, and Hall, that was the main core. But when you start getting 5, 6, 8, 10, 20 guys, you know, it's like a cluster. And it just takes away from everything. You know, Bullet Club, you know, it's like, you know, every time you turn around, somebody joins the Bullet Club. This guy's a Bullet Club member. That guy's a Bullet Club member. Man, I mean, if you're going to do a click, in my opinion, it should be kept down to 3 at the most, 2 at the least. I mean, not 2 at the least, but 3 at the most. You know, no more, no less.
Guys, at one time, they had NWO, NWO Wolfpack, Latino World Order. Guys, there were so many I couldn't keep up with. It was just us.
Right.
I'm so glad they didn't ask me to be the NWO, honestly. Because I didn't really, you know, as much as, you know, I had friends with them and everything, and I was cool, but I just knew that you just can't make everybody in the roster. One click, you know, that was insane.
They got rid of the Tongans, the Gorillas of Destiny, and I thought that was a big mistake because you still have Fale in there. And I remember when they kicked the Elite out because they were kind of like the Wolfpack of the Bullet Club before they left for AEW. And I thought the Tongans were going to be like the core guys of the Bullet Club, and then not too long ago they kicked out the Gorillas of Destiny, and I like New Japan, but some of these factions just weird to me with you know, picking the Gorillas of Destiny out of Bullet Club.
Yeah, I don't get that. I mean, they're like the heart and soul of Bullet Club over there. Tongan boys.
Right. And it was always cool seeing Haku get involved like you did in that California show, I believe, and they kicked out the Elite.
I know, with Barbin. Baku, man, even with the NWO, whenever they would have to do anything with Haku or Barb, it's like, brother, what do you want to do? Yes, sir.
Yeah, just Bullet Club, it's just too many, too much.
Just amazing, isn't it? I mean,
Stro,
remember when the Bullet?
Yes, see?
No, I just remember Triple Mania happened recently. Since we were talking about AAA earlier, I might mean to cut you off, Dr. John, but I saw that Vampiro was there. I still need to need to catch up on it, but apparently Jeff Jarrett and Vampiro were at Triple Mania. That's crazy. And I saw this picture on Instagram, this super fan that we know that does a lot of the tape trading, Roy Lucier, who posts a lot on his YouTubes. He's like a big Lucha fan, and I saw him posing with the owner of AAA ringside, and he even had a AAA tattoo in his arm. I was just like, what? You really like AAA that much? You get a tattoo on your arm? It reminds me of that WWE Hulu commercial where he's like, I'm not a wrestling fan. I'm a WWE fan. I'm like, oh, geez, you really have that tattooed on you? Exactly.
Hey, that guy for advertising. Plugging a promotion.
Yeah,
he was taking a picture with the AAA owner. It was just wild to see a AAA tattoo on somebody.
Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of the luchador style, why did Lucha Underground fold? Because to me, they had some great storylines. They were different. They were actually fun to watch. And, you know, it was just different. I don't understand how they folded, because to me it looked like they was doing pretty well.
Yeah, I think the previous seasons are on Tubi for free. I've seen some of it on there. But, my guess is just El Rey couldn't renew it. And the budget for Lucha Underground, I heard, was very expensive. So it wouldn't surprise me if it was a budget reason, or that maybe some of the wrestlers wanted to leave. It seemed like there was some contract issues after the last season. Like, some wrestlers had to legally find their way out of their contracts, because these contracts were probably too demanding, they're keeping him out of work, basically. Lucha Underground, I think MLW was doing something similar where they had a relationship. I think it's called like Azteca Underground. I think the closest thing to Lucha Underground right now is MLW. And I think they were doing something like Azteca Underground. But I think it's just El Rey couldn't probably renew it or fund it. That's what I'm thinking. I know Vampiro has talked about it before. I think it's a budget reason, but I'm not entirely sure. But yeah, that was an interesting show, because they did the cinematic stuff very heavily before WWE was doing it with Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Their episodes was so much fun to watch. Oh, I used to love watching the Lucha Underground show.
Yeah.
And that's where Luchasaurus was originally. He was Vibra. And I thought John Morrison did some of his best work on Lucha Underground. He was Johnny Mundo.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah.
I actually met Mil Muertes at a show, and I remembered when he played Judas Macias in Impact, and I mentioned his barbed wire match, but it was really cool meeting Mil Muertes at a local show and getting to see him work.
Yeah, that definitely was a good show, definitely.
Dr. John,
yes, sir.
Do you think we should get to plugs or any advertisements that we need to get to?
I think that'd be great. Let's get some plugs right now.
Did you have a plug that you wanted to mention, Dr. John?
I'm okay with that right now. So we'll go to Papa Stro. What have you got to plug?
Well, In the Room, this Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, VSNation.com. WCW Retro this Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, on VSNation.com. We'll be talking about wrestling bloopers. It'll be a lot of fun, so if you've got a blooper you're choosing, please call in. And then Friday night, the Stro Zone at midnight Eastern Standard Time on my Facebook page, facebook.com/StroTheMaestro. The feature is going to be The Creature Walks Among Us, backstage. Please print that. And then Saturday, I'm going to be at a special Fishing with Special Friends event, High Point, North Carolina. Fishing with Special Friends, they help out the disabled, do a lot of great things for people in need. It's a once-a-year thing, and I, you know, always show my support, you know, for them, and do a lot of great things to help people. So, but that'll be at that event this Saturday in High Point, North Carolina. And for more information, go to fishingwithspecialfriends.com. And thanks for having me.
All right, and we were glad to have you. And
Sinister, do you have anything to plug tonight?
No, just training as usual. You know, same state of routine. That's about it.
Absolutely. Well, that's great. And Steve, do you have anything to plug tonight?
I'm just looking forward to more local shows, and I was looking on Facebook. There's a photographer named Tape Fist Photography, and just seeing some of the pics from the last show I was at, and that was super fun to look at. Seeing me in those pics ringside, but looking forward to upcoming events. And always glad to have Stro and Sinister on. But Dr.
Absolutely.
John,
they are our linchpins for great professional wrestling. And I tell you what, Papa Stro, it's always a pleasure to have you here. Sinister, couldn't do it without you. And we're glad both of you were here with us tonight.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We're just glad to have you here. So I tell you what, I guess this is a wrap for Professional Wrestling Interviews, PWI. We're gonna catch our missing friends. We'll yell at them this week and say, where were you? Because you missed a great show. So I want to say thank you to everybody and all of our listeners, because we've got quite a few listeners now. And wanted to say thank you to everybody. And we'll see you next time, 9 p.m. Eastern on next Sunday. We'll see you on Pro Wrestling Interviews. Good night, everybody.
Good night.